Blog Talk Radio.
This is Port of Harlem Talk Radio, and I'm your host for this show and also publisher of Port of Harlem Magazine at portofharlem.net. If you're listening via the internet, you can type your questions in the comment box. You can also call and listen by dialing on your phone 516-531-9540. And if you want to ask a question after you are connected, press 1 and please be in a quiet place. You can also visit portofharlem.net and click Port of Harlem Talk Radio from the menu to hear this and past episodes. We are also available on about 7 podcast platforms. And lastly, We Talk Productions sponsors Port of Harlem Talk Radio. My guest today is Sharon Farmer. Ms. Farmer was the first African-American woman to be hired as a White House photographer. I think that was during the Clinton years. And the first African-American and first female to be director of the White House Photographer Office. She will provide tips and techniques that will help you improve your cell phone photography. Our talk is an offspring of a workshop we did, and I can't remember exactly what year now. Everything has seemed to escape me at times. And it was called Click. Top photographers offer cell phone photography tips. She did the workshop with George Talbert at the Alexandria Black History Museum, and the event was co-sponsored by the Exposure Group, African American Photographers Association Incorporated, which Sharon is a proud member of, the Alexandria Black History Museum, and of course, Port of Harlem Magazine. The link to that article is on our website and along with the information about this particular podcast. So with that said, welcome, Sharon. It's always to see you, hear you, talk to you. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Wayne. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to your audience. I enjoy what you put out. Ain't nothing but the truth.
All right,
then. It's also a great way to keep the brain active. You can't believe everything you read, see, or hear, but I believe in the Port of Harlem.
I thank you so much for that, and thank you so much for your efforts and your support over the years. Now, over the years, if I can recall correctly, I remember some other professional photographers who felt that digital cameras, nevertheless cell phone cameras, would never take the place of film cameras, much like those who never thought CDs would take over vinyl recordings. Do you recall that period, and where were you in that, and were you in the not digital camp?
I resisted the digital camp because when I was at Casablanca, I came in one day and my proof sheets weren't on my desk. Some computer was. And I'm like, where are my proof sheets? And they said, oh, no, we're switching to digital. Where are my proof sheets? So I raised such cane. They had my proof sheets brought the same day. And they said, okay, you get proof sheets for 2 more weeks, and then you got to switch. And I said to them, take the screen out of here. No, we're going to leave that there because you're going to have to get used to this. We'll send somebody up every day who will help you with this. And I just said to myself, At the Clinton administration, we were the ones that started digital photography because it made sense. It's called progress. Consider it the new Jetson era. You got to have it out yesterday. You got to have it, yeah, baby. So we like being cutting edge. You know, we're proud members of good photography. We get good gear to take great pictures. So you can't resist innovation any more than you can resist a horse having to give into the car.
I hear you. So what was Casablanca? Was it the recording company?
Oh, Casablanca is my other code name for the White House.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And I can imagine you screaming coming in one day seeing this big old computer and not getting your sheets. So explain to some of our readers may, or some of our listeners may not know what a sheet is. I forgot what you call it, not a tag sheet, but a proof sheet.
In the good old days,
yeah,
it's called proof sheet for images.
Yeah.
Proof sheet. So you can get a roll of 36. You roll a 36 on one piece of photographic paper, and you can examine that with an eye loop that lets you get right down on it, see it real close, and you can see if it's in focus, not in focus, which of course you clutch your heart. But you look for the one that's the sharpest and got action. And you have to look at it with that loop so you don't miss nothing. You look at all four corners, just like you do when you look through a camera, just like you would do if you had to do it with your iPhone or your Android camera or your iPhone camera. If you look at all four corners, you have composition. Now, the next question is your composition strong or weak? What does that mean? That means your eyeball got to shift. The camera's got to shift until it grabs your eye in such a way that you know you have a winning, makes your heart feel good image. That's when you take the picture. Doesn't matter if it's a 35-millimeter camera, phone camera, doesn't matter. I like competition.
And what's the difference now? Before you have the sheet, and did you call it a, was it called a contact sheet, or I forgot what was the
proper
name?
It's called a contact sheet. It's called a proof sheet.
Okay. And so now, in terms of digital, in the digital world, what would be its equivalent?
Aha! Yes. For some of us, it's photo mechanic. For others of us, it's Lightroom. There are so many programs about how to look at a group of photos. It's ridiculous. But the
other deal is, you're talking about look at digital photos, correct?
Looking at digital photos on your computer that you can blow up, you can edit, you can change, you can resize, you can put your metadata. That's the stuff that says it's your copyright, you shot this, and you do who's there, what were they doing, date, time, place, all the metadata. And then in categories, you say what this image is about. Is it about scholarship? Is it about fundraising? It is about changing the diaspora. There are all kind of editing hints you can put in your work about what that image means to you.
And so when you put in this metadata, it's tied to the image.
Yes. It's attached
electronically, I should say. It's tied to the image electronically.
Yes. It's a JPEG or a TIFF or... There's even a new formula now because of how you say what that stuff is. There's a new formula now because of the iPhone and the Android. And that's not a JPEG. It's something that starts with an H. But it's another form of high metadata to take small images and turn them into pretty good quality.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one. So how do you decide whether today – I mean, how do you decide whether you're going to use a traditional film camera or a phone camera?
Oh, this is a no-brainer here. Every time you use a film camera, you got to take your film someplace to have it processed. And then after it's been processed, you have to decide which ones you want to be made into images, or you can ask for them to be made into digital images on a CD. Or you bring a thumb drive that they can download your images to. So, and then when you take it home, you can take your time looking at it, deciding what stuff you want to make prints of. And you can also send it to a lab digitally to have it printed. But my favorite place to go for anything with photography in D.C. is ProPhoto on Pennsylvania Avenue between 20th and 21st. It is centrally located to all my clients that I have to deal with in Washington. Something go wrong, I can run over there. If I want to get my stuff back sooner than later, I run over there. If I need prints made, I go there. You always have to have somebody that's got quality and a sense of time to do your work, especially if you're doing exhibits, especially if you have to pass the work along to somebody. And by the way, do make sure in the metadata you put your contact information, your name, your copyright, your address, your website, and last but not least, your email and cell phone. and then say, all right, reserved. Because if you're going to have as much fun as I'm having doing photography, well, there's some things that keep you safe.
Let me go back a step. You had said a couple of things I want to ask you about, in particular going back to the big question or the original question. So when do you decide or how do you decide whether to use a traditional film camera or a phone camera? What is the big criteria for you to make that decision?
If I have a choice between an iPhone and my film camera, I'm going to shoot the film camera first because the film camera, I still have plenty of film left. Okay, hello, hundreds of rolls. You know, through the years, you get rolls of film. And mine are refrigerated and in storage. So I still have, God, a lot of film to shoot. And thank heavens my film cameras work. The second thing about digital with the iPhone, it don't weigh nothing. It's in your back pocket all the time. You don't have a camera, but you have the iPhone. For years, I resisted the iPhone. Years. I always had a small Canon portable camera with me that was lightweight, fit around my neck, very unobtrusive, especially if I was going someplace where people particularly did not want to have cameras there. But the good thing about everything is no matter what you're using, it's going to make an image. Fundamentals about how much light it takes to illuminate your subject, the fundamentals of good composition, what makes that picture strong. No matter what two images you put up, you're going to like one better over another for various reasons. I always love that debate.
So you don't have a hard point where you're going to decide which one you're going to use, a film camera or a phone camera, but you prefer using a film camera.
I prefer using the film or my other digital cameras that are as big as the film cameras, but they use compact cards to record the digital image, which I shoot for my clients too. Film cameras, like, this is totally about me. I ain't trying to sell to nobody. I'm out here going to do art. Now, the bad part is I wish I still had my darkroom. I don't. But I have a lot of components of it. So my next step is to reassemble my darkroom if we can find a space in the house for me. Right now, the answer is no because of how the house has been decided upon about who gets to do what when. So, and plus, I have a lot of gear.
Speaking of space, and things becoming obsolete. You mentioned film processing stores. I remember we had an advertiser on Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast. I remember when he went out of business, and he said business was good at that point, but he was afraid that the digital world was going to take over. So I'm surprised that there are still some film processing stores open. And the other thing is CDs. So I see the CDs now. You can't rely on buying a new laptop and with the CD player being in it. So it seems like that is on its way out. How do you tangle with all those notions of things constantly becoming obsolete?
I have always been used to the idea that one day the old car is not going to run, okay? And that means you got to get another car. Now, what model are you going to get? Which one has a safety rating, has been tested, been almost proven to be lasting long? It takes a lot of legwork and eye work through the internet and through different, talk websites about this stuff, because everybody has an opinion. You have to weigh everything. It's like, do you prefer blue over blue over blue, or do you prefer red over blue? You know, it's like, really? This is what we got to now.
Oh, I feel you, believe me.
Interesting. It's esoterical. If you ever want to talk sci-fi, talk to a photographer. If you want to have your own personal adventure, I don't care what kind of camera you got. Take it with you and visually look with your eyeballs for what you want to take a picture of. What do you like to do? Take that cell phone with you. Unobtrusive. Nobody's going to bother you.
Okay,
now
so we back
here.
So we're back to the whole difference between the film camera and the phone camera. So I'm going to ask you, what are the three of the biggest differences to you between using a film camera and a phone camera?
Ah, The quality in the film camera is way better than it is in the digital iPhone or the Android phone camera.
Okay.
Phone cameras don't in any way compare to quality and resolution the way digital big cameras and big cameras 35 millimeters do. And, of course, the negative gets even larger with a Hasselblad because or Bronica, because it's a 2.25 negative. And now we even have digital backs on these cameras that make a huge file, huge. Allows you to put skyscraper-sized images up on the sides of buildings. Technology keeps getting better. Not that everybody can afford it, but technology gets better. And remember, as long as it works, don't worry about if it's used or not. Sometimes it's a bargain. Never look a bird in the eye and not take a chance at it.
Okay, so the big difference is you think the film cameras are still better, but I think you're saying that phone cameras, using digital cameras now, are getting so much better that it can even capture even larger files. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the files are huge with digital cameras now. It keeps expanding, keeps getting better. You can take a 17 megabyte file with one image now. That is huge. I remember the megabyte was good to have 2 or 3 megabytes. Cards are only, 2 megabytes. Now you got 65 megabyte cards, 125 megabyte cards. It's deep out here.
Okay, but the film cameras still have sharper images, clearer images, bigger images. Are you saying that?
I'm saying that the film images are a quality of the past, still as valuable today as it was yesterday, because the process to make film camera images into images for fine art or for photojournalism or for advertisement, there's a process. And all these different processes all have different kind of looks. The more processes you work with, you don't have to understand them. You just got to look at them and go, which one do I like? And what's the name of that process versus this process? Some of the programs in the digital phones, the cameras there, will let you make it look like Fujichrome or make it look like Kodachrome, the old style of film, but it's filtered digitally. You have choices and options.
Did you say alter miserably?
You can alter them. You can alter the pictures by using the Kodachrome tag or using the Fujichrome tag. There's a style of film that all these films have had, from Kodak to Fuji to Ilford. And all these looks are different in the kind of paper that was being used.
Right.
This can be replicated now digitally in the digital process of finishing an image.
But are those tags making good representations compared to what the film are doing?
Every film has its own look.
But I'm saying in general, are the phone tags that transform these images to these different views, are they comparable to what you can do with the film? Or the film still superior?
Yeah, it's comparable. It's comparable. They worked hard at this. It's comparable.
Okay. So when you use a phone camera, what are 3 pieces of advice you can give?
The first thing is to look at the background of what you're shooting. Is it fussy? Is it clean? Is it going to show what you want to be seen? If you're not close enough, then get closer. You cannot get too close to trying to capture what you want. And on both of these cameras, the Android and the iPhone, when you have the camera up and on, you can touch two fingers to the center of the image on the phone, spread them apart, and that will bring your subject in closer to your phone, to your camera phone. If you're in the shade or in the dark, it is not going to hurt to put the flash on, no matter what. Try auto, letting the phone decide, and do another shot that says flash it no matter what. So that's two settings with the flash you have there beside the one where the flash is off. One flash setting lets the camera decide. The other flash setting, no matter what, it's going to fire because you decided it needed to fire. And that makes a huge difference in digital cameras, especially with low light stuff or things shot in shadow. If you fill your frame, which means you got to look at all four corners of what you're peering at, and if the image seems strong, just a little to the left or a little to the right, everything is eye level. No, it's boring. Bend your knees. Get on the floor, shoot up. Or get in the chair, shoot down. But get a different angle than eye level. We see eye level stuff every day. Boring.
I see, because when you go up or down, you put in the, you're setting the frame differently.
Yes.
Gotcha. Well, I tell you, at the workshop, what I took away from your workshop is that one of the first things you should do is clean your lens.
That's a fact.
So that's four hints now. I mean, four suggestions. I'm going to add that one because that's the one I remember.
Because otherwise you're going to have art that goes with your smears. And then you have to explain what you were dreaming. And you know you wasn't even sleep.
So moving on to the exposure group, which has been with us since I can recall. I think probably when the late Donna Wells was probably the first person that may have introduced me to the exposure group. I'm not absolutely sure. But I do remember her with the group and me, probably meeting the group that way. But I know you've been an active member of the exposure group for eons. You might even be one of the founding members. I can't remember that either. But I know that.
See, that's what happens when you get old, okay? When you get old, you ain't sure what you did, but I know I'm a founder.
So where you want to?
I am a founder. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Oh yeah, when you don't like how stuff is going, excuse my French, y'all. When you don't like how stuff is going, you make your own group, okay?
Yes.
Make your own group. That's why we all got different churches. You don't like what's going on, make your own church.
Right.
You don't like what's going on in the photo world, make your own photo group.
And the group consists of novices and professionals. Which I thought was very interesting.
Yes, we love people who don't know nothing. We have to teach them.
Yeah, when I first found that out, I found that how does this group function then? If you have people who are, very good at their craft and those who just learn their craft, but what do you get out of the group as a professional, and what can novices gain from being a part of the group?
Professional, I always remember that somebody taught me. I didn't learn this stuff by myself. I had mentors. I had people who looked at my artwork and would tell me if it was crap or good or not. And I would go back and do better. I found this to be a very competitive business. It wasn't a fun business per se, but it certainly was competitive. And you had bragging rights based on your image. You could talk trash and back it up. And you ain't hurt nobody. You ain't draw no blood. I don't know a better way to live.
Okay, so what do novices, people listening who, I mean, they like photography, they're intrigued by your success, and they like all the different little pieces of information that they were able to gather, and I know some of them are going to have to go and look things up because, you know, some of the language may not be very familiar to them or the techniques, but they're wondering if they can come to this group and gain something. What could these novices gain from being a part of the group?
They would gain that it's not impossible to go from being a novice to a very good photographer, having their own business, be it full-time or on the side. everything is a building block, just like it was when you were in kindergarten, junior high, and high school. One thing does lead to another. And like any craft, the more you do it, the better you get at it. The more you exhibit your work, or will tell you what they think, whether you're ready for that or not. And it also helps you build up your confidence about what you are doing, especially when people see things in your work that you didn't see in your work, and you shot it for a different reason. But no, these people here see something else, and you didn't even consider that. It's the fun that opens up an artistic dialogue, an intellectual dialogue, dialogues with purpose. We are not mindless automatons watching TV and not enjoying our lives. Oh, no, no, we are interactive. That's the fun thing about photography. You have to relate to your environment, the people around you, and the most minutiae of things, because all that stuff is art. All that stuff is here because it's part of the whole globe. You cannot ignore one part of the globe over another part of the globe. We're all humans. And then the animals got their own thing.
But yeah, that's probably the biggest thing I learned from the group, and also working with the graphic artist, is that art is a photography is an art. And earlier I would have barely conceived of myself going to an art exhibit to look at photography or vice versa. I mean, to me, pictures were just something you took with an Instamatic camera. But now, from being around artists like yourself and being around graphic artists and work with the magazine, I do better love and feel what goes into your work as a photographer. And it definitely is an art, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate what you've taught me over the years.
Dang, brother. It's about pride.
It seems to be, because a lot of you all got a lot of pride.
I got mega pride. I'm from Southeast D.C. I got pride.
Well, tell me about these album covers, too. I was reading that you've done album covers before you really got off into working with the Clinton administration.
Oh, that's wild. When I graduated from college at Ohio State that last year, I also had an internship at the Associated Press as a photographer. And I'm graduating, and I come back to the East Coast in D.C. determined to be a photojournalist. I like being part of news. I worked a black student newspaper when I was in school at Ohio State called Art Choking Times, and I was the photographer. I wasn't looking to be the photographer, but photography bit me. As I continued to major in my bassoon and my clarinet, and my piano. I was a music major looking to be a concert bassoonist. But photography bit me. I took one class called The Science of Photography by Dr. Harry Bienow. And it changed my vision about where I could see me. And plus, back in those days, you had to wait for somebody to die or retire to get into a concert band or an orchestra. So I could make money on the side, grilling hamburgers, but then discovered I could make money taking pictures of the kids on campus and working for the yearbook. Wouldn't work for the school paper because they kept acting like black kids and our international students didn't exist. So I wasn't drawn to them that one bit. I wasn't looking to be a journalism major. I still wanted to be a musician. But as time went on, things changed, and I shot a lot of stuff at Ohio State.
Okay, so in our last 2 minutes, can you speed it up? I hate to stop you, but can you speed it up in our last 2 minutes and tell us how you got to the album covers?
Oh, the album covers were from Sweet Honey and the Rock. They were looking for a new photographer to shoot the second album. First one was an abstract bunch of stuff. And Bernice kept saying, we want this sharp and focused. We want to be seen sharp and in focus. And by the time I'm showing them my portfolio, they all say to me, why aren't you working for yourself? And I said, oh, light bulb goes off. And then as I'm leaving, I pack my portfolio up. Bernice says again, why aren't you working for you? And next time I had a $10,000 bonus from the camera store, I quit that job and started freelancing around D.C. One thing led to another. Worked for the Washington Post for 14 years, never kissed enough butt to get a job, because I don't do that. For women have to kiss any ass. I ain't doing it. And the other deal is that everything comes in time. Stick to your guns. Stand for what you stand for, because the people that came before us did, and I'm not going to disgrace them and disgrace myself too.
Okay, so that's how you guys are doing album covers. Well, again, thank you so much for your time and for spreading good information and helping to explain the diversity of not only our interest, but the interest of everybody. I shouldn't say it that way. Really, thank you for helping to explain that our interests are much beyond just reading the, looking at the picture, but taking the picture, and more than just playing the album, but creating the album cover, and that taking
there you go.
Taking pictures is an art, and it's full of it's to do it is more than just snapping. That you really could and should have a lot of knowledge, and when you do, it pays off. So thank you so much, Sharon, for your time and for your information, for sharing the information.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I enjoy you some more.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. So
take
again.
Care. Have a great night, all y'all.
All right. Thanks again. And you please sign up for Port of Harlem at portofharlem.net and like us on Facebook. All right. Thanks so much. Good night.
Good night.